Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of iPana for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health present It's Time to Smile.
With Eddie Cantor. Time to smile. Time to wear a grin. That's the style. Put a dimple in your chin. Let your troubles ride from your fireside through the countryside. Cross the great divide. Push your cares aside. Find the sunny side. Time to smile.
And here he is back from the Kentucky Derby, Eddie Cantor.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Harry?
What?
I just came back from the Kentucky Derby, and did I enjoy it. That beautiful track, the blue grass, the mint juleps, and those lovely southern girls. There were 10 girls in my box. Two of them had a sieve on my lap. It was wonderful. Oh, well, one of the girls...
Did you enjoy the races?
They have races there, too?
Those Kentucky belles must be gorgeous, Eddie.
Harry, you have no idea. One beautiful girl walked by the grandstand where a group of men were standing, and she said, "Well, I declare, my shoelace is untied. Will one of you kind gentlemen tie it for me?"
What happened?
I came in fifth. You see, Harry, that's Southern chivalry for you.
Oh, well, don't tell me about Southern chivalry. I'm a Kentucky colonel, you
know. So what? So he's a Kentucky colonel? Look at him. I had the honor of being appointed the first Kentucky colonel. They made me one when I was 16 years old. What are you laughing at?
When you were 16, Kentucky wasn't even in the Union.
Well, that's a very amusing remark, Harry, but I can't laugh after what happened to that horse I backed in the Derby.
Oh,
Harry.
Well, Eddie, maybe he was just out of his class. Tell me, is he a thoroughbred?
Is he? No. Is he a thoroughbred? He's a fifth cousin by a second husband to Seabiscuit. Yes.
That's not so. Well, what's his name?
Crumbcake out of Strudel. Here, Harry.
Yes.
Here is his picture. Look, isn't he a beautiful animal, Harry?
Oh, well, Eddie, this beast is so sway back, his undercarriage is touching the ground.
Well, that's good. On a wet track, he goes belly whopping. Don't laugh, Harry. With your shape, you could do the same thing. Yes?
No, you can kid me all you want, Eddie. The people you persuaded to bet on that crumb cake are pretty sore, you know.
Well, after all, how many people did I... Wait, is that the phone? I'll get... Hello? Who? Oh. Well, I know, but I gave you the tip in good faith. Gosh, I bet on the horse myself. $2. To show. You're gonna what? Oh. Oh.
Eddie, what's the matter?
Come with me, Harry. I'm really in trouble. If you knew who that call was from, your chin would certainly drop. If you had a chin. Sing, Dinah.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, all for the love of you. I can't have a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you'd look so sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two. Daisy, Daisy, why don't you give me your answer due? You're driving me crazy. Oh, for the love of you. But you'd look so sweet upon the seat of a bicycle built for two. You'd look so sweet when you're sitting on the seat of a bicycle built for two.
Well, when he gets here, Harry, all you have to do is to...
If only he was busy tonight.
Probably another person I advise to bet on crumb cake. Why... Hello?
Look, Mr. Cantor, will you do me a favor? My next-door neighbors have their radio turned on too loud. I said in a nice way, look, would you please turn down your radio? And the man said, Now, you know I couldn't stand for that.
Well, what can I do?
Maybe it would help if you fellas talked a little more softly.
Well, that we can do, can't we, Harry?
Well, can't we what, Eddie?
Speak more softly.
Oh, sure we can. You mean like this, mister?
Remember Sal Hepatica for the Smile of Health.
Can't hear you now. What did you say?
Sal Hepatica. Remember Sal Hepatica for the Smile of Health. How's that?
Just a little louder.
Okay, listen to this. Whenever you need a laxative, ladies and gentlemen, Sal Hepatica gives speedy, gentle relief, usually within an hour. And since that means that you don't have to wait till night to take it, it naturally means there's no need to go through the whole day feeling dull and headachy. Sal Hepatica also has this advantage.
Sal Hepatica helps counteract excess gastric acidity, helps turn a sour stomach sweet again.
So get a bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Then whenever you need a laxative, morning, noon, or night, see how much faster you feel better when you take gentle, speedy Sal Hepatica.
Harry, that was swell. It was really... Come in. Why, John Garfield. John!
All right, Cantor. I come all the way from Kentucky to see you. What kind of a tip was that you give me on the Kentucky Derby?
Well, don't get excited, John. Believe me, the horse just happened to have bad luck. You don't have to get sore about it.
Listen, Popeye. I didn't mind when that horse was left at the post. But when he sat down and put a pair of binoculars up to his eyes so he could see the race better, that was too much.
But I can explain.
I don't want any explanation. What I want is...
All right, no arguments. If I gave you a bad tip on that race, I'll give you back everything you lost. Let's not argue. How much money did you lose?
$10,000.
Let's argue. For $10,000, we gotta argue.
Come on, stop stalling. You told me that horse crumb cake was a sure thing, and it cost me $10,000.
Well, did it break you?
No, but I had to stay up all night printing more money.
Printing your own money? Why, they can put you in jail for that.
So what? With all those prison pictures I've been making, what's the difference? Yep.
I saw the last one that you made, John.
You should have seen the preview. They had it at Sing Sing. I was the guest of honor.
At Sing Sing?
Yep. I'm a great favorite there. I'll never forget that night. Outside the prison theater, they had my name lit up in electric chairs.
Hey, John, you know who I like in those gangster pictures? Humphrey Bogart. He is a real tough guy.
Bogart? That fugitive from a daisy chain?
I don't know, John. That Bogart is such a daredevil. In his last picture, he climbs to the top of the High Sierras.
That's nothing. In my next picture, I'm going to climb all the way to the top of George Raft's pants.
So high? Without a parachute? Amazing.
Why, Eddie, even you can be tougher than Bogart. Say... Why, you can get into his rack and make some dough, too.
No, I'll stick to radio. And besides, who needs money? My sponsors are very generous, and for doing this program, they pay me a very good salary.
And I always thought crime doesn't pay.
Well, let's stop with the joke. Speaking of my program, John, you know, I invited you here because you're a swell dramatic actor, and the people would like to hear you emote.
I'd like to, Eddie, but this is your program. If I perform on it, I'll have to do something in keeping with the rest of the show. I'll have to act like you.
All right, act like me.
Well, why should I clap my hands, roll my eyes, and look dopey just because this is your program? Listen, that stuff is for Eddie Cantor, not for me. Just imagine me, John Garfield, sitting in prison writing a letter to my girl and saying,
Ida, oh, Ida, sweet as apple cider. I'm writing you this note to tell you that you're sweeter than all I know. All I know.
I don't know nothing, see? I ain't talking, see?
Oh, Ida, come out in the silvery moonlight. I'll meet you there. I'll meet you there.
I'm getting my parole in August.
Of love, I'll whisper. Ida, so soft and low.
Gotta talk soft and low. Too many stool pigeons around here. You see, Eddie, I could do something like that. But I don't want to because this is your program. It's your program. And...
Well, then...
Why, I could even say,
Ida. I'm calling Ida. Seems as though I can't live without you.
I'm not going to live without you. I'm making my getaway. What's that? The warden's seen me. They got the spotlights on me. I'm trapped. Oh, they got me.
I gotta talk fast. Ida, I idolize you. You always was a good mom. Ida, and I love you. Love you. Indeed, I do.
I'm certainly glad this used to be my program.
You ought to be glad. That's so far nobody got wise to you. Cantor, everybody knows I'm a gangster, but you got a record too, you know.
Well, that's not true.
Stop stalling, Cantor. If you haven't got a record, why does Mr. District Attorney follow you every Wednesday night? Come on, come clean. Your name always wasn't Eddie Cantor.
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't. The boys in the gang used to call me Freddy the Frog. But I'm sorry you brought it up. You shouldn't have done it, John, because Ida's listening.
You mean Daisy's a dip?
You know, all right, I'll tell. I'll tell everything. It all started in the hospital where I was born. Day after day, looking through the bars of my crib. After a while, I got to like it. But all the other babies were such snobs. They would never talk to me. I couldn't stand it. So one night, I sneaked up and stole all their safety pins. I know what was wrong, stealing those pins. Those poor little kids who should have only been exposed to their mother's love and kindness. And what did I expose them to? Drafts. All my life, I've been worried about it.
Eddie, the draft is one thing you'll never have to worry about again.
John, I don't know why you waste your time with dramatic roles when you're such a funny fella. You're so versatile. There's only one person that compares with you, and here he is now.
How do you do?
Russian, I want you to meet our guest, John Garfield.
You like it to meet you, Mr. Cornfield?
No. Not Cornfield, Russian. It's Garfield. Gar.
You want a dog biscuit?
No.
Eddie, where did you pick up this vulgar vulture?
How dare you! I, sir, I'm a gentleman. Yeah. And if you'll drop in my plantation in Russia, I will show you some real southern hospitality. Mm-hmm. Every afternoon, we are serving juleps. Minsk juleps. Yes.
What? What is a Minsk julep?
A zombie with a boiled potato.
A gentleman, huh? Russian, would you really call yourself a man of good breeding?
Yes, of course, yes.
I am a man of very good breeding, but only on one side. Listen.
Oh. If at first you don't succeed, blow again. Yeah. Why don't you admit it, Russian? You're just a dope.
A dope, eh? Then how come last week I made $800,000?
$800,000? How could you make $800,000?
I got a printing press, too, you know.
Russian, be careful. Be careful not to insult John Garfield. He's a pretty tough guy.
Tough, eh? Mm-hmm. Don't make me laugh.
Obviously, you haven't seen any of Mr. Garfield's pictures.
That's a lie. Back in Moscow, I enact the Russian version of all his pictures.
You play Garfield for the Russian?
Yes, I also play left field for the Dodgers.
Russian, you're no actor.
Don't say that. All my life, I have studied acting.
Yes.
And when I graduated from the Moscow Academy of Acting...
Yes.
I was voted the man most likely to be assassinated.
What pictures of mine did you have play in?
The last was that prison picture,
yes.
Blackwell's Island.
Yes.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. The scene opens in a Russian prison, and I'm serving a 600-year sentence in solitary confinement.
Yes.
Every day I am living on one slice of bread, which doesn't give me much room to walk around. But I struggle on and on, and in the end, I am rewarded.
He is rewarded.
I am becoming such a model prisoner, the warden is giving me special privileges.
Special privileges?
Yes, I am the only one allowed to read a magazine while sitting in the electric chair.
The chair? What kind of a magazine can you read?
Current events.
Russian, I've had enough of your nonsense, so I want you to clear out of here. Now, get out.
Look what's telling me to get out. Garfield, I ain't afraid of you. You don't frighten me at all. There's only one thing that would make me leave. That's it.
13-year-old Olive Major sings Rigo Serenade.
Moonlight shimmering bright, whispers low to lovers. All the long waiting love is the shadow of hours. We've lived with softest caressing. Oh, my guns all type of pressing. Night in its beauty enthralling, on lovers falling, is gently falling, falling. Come, thou not spirit, long, my song of home, feel of a fading song, with power to draw you far away, far away. And through the cold night,
Major, you sang that just like a veteran. Come in.
Good evening, friend. I'm working my way through college. Now, you've heard of rose-colored glasses. Well, how would you like to buy a rose-colored mirror?
Now, look, mister, I'm not into a rose-colored mirror.
You said it, Owlface. Women go mad with joy when they see their complexion, their eyes, and their smiles in a rose-colored mirror. Makes their skin like peaches and cream, and their smiles a joy to behold. Why, the mirror can be had with a specially carved frame for only $114.10. You should look into it.
You what? All that money for a mirror that tells fibs? Better a woman should get plenty of fresh air and sunshine for that peaches and cream complexion, and enough sleep will help put a sparkle in her eyes.
Ah, but what about her smile?
Just a little common sense will take care of that. Isn't that so, Harry, huh?
Indeed it is, Eddie. Regular visits to your dentist and the faithful use of Ipana toothpaste and massage is a simple, common-sense way to a more winning smile. And like so many dentists, we recommend Ipana because it not only gives your teeth a sparkling cleanliness, but when used with massage, Ipana is especially designed to give your gums the exercise and stimulation they need to help keep them firm and healthy and less susceptible to gum trouble. And since teeth are seldom at their sparkling best when gums are tender and soft, why not adopt and faithfully practice this easy, helpful routine?
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertips and massage it on your gums.
In that simple way, you help bring a healthier firmness to your gums, a brighter luster to your teeth, and naturally more charm and attractiveness to your smile. So stop at your druggist's tomorrow and get a tube of Ipana for your smile of beauty.
Garfield.
How do you do?
Wait a minute, will you please? Look, before the mad Russian came in, I started to tell you how much I like your movie acting, especially in The Sea Wolf. Oh, John, what Eddie Cantor could have done to that part Edward G. Robinson had. John, can't you just picture me as the briny old sea dog?
To me, you look more like a wet cocker spaniel.
Is that so? Well, I'll prove to you that I can do that part. Wait, we'll do it right now. I'll be Captain Wolf Larson, and you be the sailor, the same part that you had in the picture.
Oh, Eddie, you can't play the part of an old salt. You're not briny enough.
I'm not briny. I'm not briny enough? All you have to do is to stick a cucumber in my mouth, and in 3 minutes, dill pickle. Set the scene, Harry.
The scene, a tramp steamer, 17 days at sea. Hunger and misery stalk this ship, for her captain is a dreaded, merciless brute of a man. As we peer through the murky mist and fog that surround this ill-fated vessel, the only sounds we hear are the clanging of the ship's bells.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
The lapping of the waves.
Lap, 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 lap.
The flapping of the sails.
Flippity-flop, Flippity-flop, flippity-flop.
The bells, the waves, and the sails.
Bing-bong, bing-bong.
Flap-flap, flap-flap.
Harry.
Flippity-flop.
Harry.
Flippity-flop.
Harry.
Harry.
Harry. Oh, Harry, yes.
Oh, yes.
As we look forward on this derelict vessel, we see bent over the pilot wheel a hulking brute of a man, the Sea Wolf.
Are you the Sea Wolf or one of his pups?
Quiet, you mangy cur. You think I'm soft, eh? I'll show you how tough Wolf Larson is. I'll pick up this 300-pound anchor and break it across my knee. Pick up that anchor. Now pick up my knee.
Look here, Captain. When I signed up, I didn't know this was a pirate ship. I didn't know you beat men. I didn't know you steal furs.
Well, you should have known. You were in the picture. How did you know we were stealing fur?
I know everything about you. First it was Sable, then it was Mink, then Fox, and now Skunk.
Wait a minute. There's no comma there. Don't put things in, will you, please? Remember, I'm the captain of the ship. I'm Larson. Do you hear me? I'm Larson.
Yeah, you're Larson up this whole sketch.
Captain, the men are starting to mutiny.
Mutiny? Why?
They want to look through the spyglass. Why should you have it all the time?
Flippity-flop. Flippity-flop.
So you want mutiny, eh? Well, you better not try it, because I can lick any one of you with both hands tied behind your back. Now, you get down. You get down here, sailor. And scrub the deck.
Just a minute, Larson. I've taken about all I can from you. We're not animals, dogs that you kick around because we're under your feet. We're human beings, flesh and blood. We ain't machines. You can break our bones and our bodies with the lashes from that whip, but you can't break our spirit. All right, we'll swab your decks in this blistering heat, but we ain't going to scrub it with that boogie beat.
Well, just for that, you'll do it without Lux. And you wind up with dishpan hands.
Thus, the brutal captain ruled his men with an iron fist. Meanwhile, languishing below decks with a burning fever is that beautiful, delicate, fragile flower of womanhood, Waterfront Lizzie. Suddenly, a hush falls over the ship.
Locking all's well. Correction, 7:30, gangbusters. It's on the air.
Flippity-flop. Now, what am I doing here? I want no horseplay on this boat, you hear
Captain,
me?
Captain, Waterfront Liz. She's in bad shape. She's delirious, Captain.
Well, let's go in and have a look at her, sailor.
Where am I? Calling Newark Airport. Where am I?
I think she's off her beam.
How can you say that? Can't you see she doesn't know what she's talking about?
Why can't I have more money? Why doesn't he give me a raise?
She knows what she's talking about.
Poor kid. Listen to me, Liz. You gotta fight. You gotta last through this voyage, then we can get to you to a doctor.
Yeah. Let me help you, Liz. I'll stay here with you day and night. I'll put my arms around you and kiss you. My love will sustain you. I'll make you last.
I'll last, but will you?
Captain, there's a ship on the horizon.
There's a ship on the horizon.
There's two ships.
Quick, let's get out on the deck. Oh, I'll try and hail them. Ahoy!
Ahoy, ahoy.
Oh, well, I didn't think you were that close.
At last, I'm catching up with you.
Careful of your tongue, sailor. You're talking to Larson, the Sea Wolf.
So what? Who are you?
Oh, gee. Oh, huh?
Wait a minute. I'll introduce you. This is my first mate.
Eddie Camper, this is Ida.
Never mind. Tell me, what are you doing out here in these forbidden waters, miles from the nearest port of call?
I'm convoying a bowl of borscht to Lindy's.
Can't fool me. You came to steal my cargo of furs that I stole from you, you crook. Well...
Stop. I'm sick of this brutality. Since I came to see, I've known nothing but suffering and misery. Never a kind word from you, Wolf Larsen. Never. All you do is stand there and mutter, mutter, and mutter.
What's a mutter, baby?
Listen, landlubber. I'm giving you one last chance. Get off this boat.
Never. There's only one thing that will make me leave. That's it.
Wait a minute, Russian. You told that joke to the audience before.
If they laugh once, they laugh twice.
Well, thank you, John Garfield, for your performance here tonight. And now, to show my gratitude, I'm going to sing.
That's gratitude for you.
Wasn't it a lucky thing that we got caught in the rain and found ourselves on the doorstep of number 10 Lullaby Lane? And wasn't it a lucky thing the man came out to explain that we were just the right people for number 10 Lullaby Lane? He told us we could move right in if we would sign a lease. But when we said we weren't wed, he said he was also the justice of the peace. So if you're in the neighborhood and you get caught in the rain, you'll find us waiting to greet you at number 10 Lullaby Lane. We have lots of extra space, much too much for two. But once the stork has found the place, we'll break all the records of the woman in the shoe. Should you be in the neighborhood and you get caught in the rain, you'll find us waiting to greet you.
Where?
Number 10.
Wall Street?
No, number 10.
Basin Street?
No, number 10.
Dead End Street?
No, number 10.
Easy Street.
Not Wall Street, Mason Street, Dead End, or Easy Street.
Number 10, Lullaby Lane.
Please remember, ladies and gentlemen, that these Wednesday evenings we share together are made possible by the makers of iPanna for the smile of beauty and Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. iPanna, Sal Hepatica. Don't fail to be with us next week when we will have as our special guest baseball's greatest pitcher, Bobby Feller. And so, till next Wednesday, toodaloo. Don't forget to listen, eh? Don't forget to listen, eh? And be soon. And be soon.
Don't forget to listen. Don't forget to listen. And be soon.
Now, you can play a mighty important part in our national defense by buying defense savings bonds. You're not only helping your country, but you're also investing your money wisely and safely. So tomorrow, won't you go to your post office or bank and say, I want to buy a defense savings bond? Tell them you want to do your part, huh?
This is the National Broadcasting Company.